We're going to start a pay Amud Bet in the middle of the Mishnah, toward the end. We were learning in the Mishnah about a woman who is a Shomeret Yabam. She's at this in-between stage, and the whole question is what happens to her Nechasim, that fall to her in that interim time period. Who do they belong to? And we had this big machlok at Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel about it, that we said it wasn't so clear about all the things, right? We had whether Beit Shammai is talking about everything or Beit Shammai is just talking about... There's one right there. We have the Minchasim Nichnasim V'yotzim Ima. So there's Beit Shammai Amrim Yechleku Yorshei Abal Im Yorshei Av. Right, so we have the Nichse. Beit Shammai says Yechleku Yorshei Abal Im Yorshei Av, and we explain that when they're talking about that, they're talking just about the Nichse Malug. Okay, now right, is it just the Nichse Malug? 1 second. No, I'm forgetting. I have it all organized. Oh, you know what? It's all organized in this piece. Right? Okay. Yeah, you're right. It's the Nichse Malug. The Nichse Malug, we have Machloka Beit Shammai, Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai says Yechleku, and the Beit Hillel says it goes to the father because they were originally hers, so it goes back to the father. Those were, again, the stuff that she came into the marriage with or fell to her while she was married. Then, apparently, Beit Shammai doesn't disagree about the rest of the stuff, and then there's the Tzon Barzel, there's the Ketubah, and then there's a whole big argument about what we say about the Tzon Barzel. When it says Ketubah, when it says in here, Beit Hillel Omrim Nechasim B'chez Katan U'Ketubah B'chez Kat Yorshei Habal, Nechasim U'Nechasim B'Yotzim Imah B'chez Kat Yorshei Av. So does it mean that the Ketubah is at the Baal, and the Malug is with the Yorshei Av? And then the question is, what about the Tzon Barzel? And there was a whole machloket about how the Tzon Barzel fall out. Do we split them? Is it based on this other machloket? Are they Bechez Katan? Which means, again, if they're Bechez Katan, that means it could mean it's split. It could mean that the Ketubah means the Nichse Malug, in which case it goes to the husband. There's all different opinions about it. Unclear. Okay, so again, let's just to summarize. Nichse Malug, there's a machloket Beit Shammai Beit Hillel, whether you split or it goes to her father. The Ketubah goes to the husband, and then the Nichse Tzon Barzel, it's a machloket, what happens to them. And it could be any one of all the options. Husband, father, or split. Okay?
It includes the Tosefet Ketubah.
So the Ketubah includes the Tosefet Ketubah. Yeah, whenever we say Ketubah, we mean... Okay, what's clear about Ketubah is we definitely mean the 200 zuz, the Tosefet, and we possibly mean also the Nichse Tzon Barzel. Okay? Because what's the Nichse Tzon Barzel? It's the Nidunya. So the Nidunya, generally the husband inherits after the marriage. Okay? If she dies, then the husband inherits the Tzon Barzel. If he divorces her or he dies, then she gets it. Okay, now, then we talked about how basically he has to have money that's set aside for the Ketubah. Okay, so he basically has to take all the money that belongs. What happens is, so she's a Shomeret Yabam. Okay, so comes the Yabam. Now, they're not married yet, but he has to basically worry that the Ketubah falls on the first husband, right, who's now dead. And now, that's his responsibility. It comes from his property. Now the question is, the Yabam has to make sure, the Yabam, if he's going to do Yibum, he inherits the brother's stuff. However, he only inherits the brother's stuff, right? But he also inherits the Ketubah. So he has to basically set aside all his property and turn all the brother's property and turn stuff. We learned yesterday, the Perot HaTlushim, he has to buy stuff with them, and there's all the different categories in order to have Karka, in order to have money put aside for her Ketubah. Now, the Mishnah is very strange because it seems to imply that even if he has way more money, the brother who died, the Yabam still can't use all that property. We're going to see later, maybe it's not necessarily that he has to put it all aside. What if he wants to put aside X amount, which he knows is going to be enough, and then he can have rights to sell all the other stuff? We'll see. It also seems that if he does sell it, he can sell it, but it has what we call achrayut nechasim. So if someone were to buy it from him, and then she needs it to collect her tuba money, she can take it out of their hands. Okay? So now we're going to see all the more. So we're at the end. Six, seven lines from the end of the Mishnah. The last word on the line is lo. Lo yomar la harei ketubatech munachat al ha-shulchan. He can't say, here's your ketubah money. I want to inherit all the brothers' money. I don't want to deal with the fact that you want this achrayut nechasim, right? The property is going to be sitting aside and I'll just get payroll from it. Here's your ketubah. It's munachat al ha-shulchan. Some people say, Rashi says it's a shulchani, and that's like a money changer, and that's what he means, it's al ha-shulchan. Anyway, ela kol nechasav achrayin l'ketubata. Okay, it seems to imply, and this is what I was just saying, that he has to take all the property, not his own, but the brothers, right? All the dead brother's property, are achrayin l'ketubata. V'chein lo yomar adam l'ishto, harei ketubatech munachal al ha-shulchan, ela kol nechasav achrayin l'ketubata. Now they're saying not only that, but a husband and wife. This isn't just the Yabam with the brother's property, but a husband also, okay, can't say, here, take your ketubah money. I don't want to deal with the fact that, right, people don't like having to owe money to people, right? And not only that, but the point is, we learned this already, that when he sells any of his property, right, all his property from the time of the marriage has achrayut nechasim. So if he all the property he sells, the buyer knows that the wife might take it back, so he's going to get a worse price for it. So he wants to be able to sell freely, so he could say, here's your money, and take it or leave it, or not leave it, but anyway, take it. So ela kol nechasav achrayin l'ketubata, girsha ein la ela ketuba. Okay, so now we're going back to the Abam case. If he divorces her, then she just gets the ketubah money from the, right? That's all that's left. He just pays her the ketubah money and zeu, he's done, the Yabam. But hichzira, let's say he brings her back, remarries her, now what happens? So harehi kechol anashim ve'en la'ela ketubah bilvad. At that point, he's basically freed up all the brother's money. He can inherit now the brother's money. And then, then it's fine. And then she just gets a ketubah. In other words, this whole din of the achrayut, that of the brother's money, it now all becomes his money. Until such time as he divorces her and gives her the ketubah money, all the brother's money is like on hold. Okay?
So if he does
chalitza, I think he doesn't inherit the money. Then the money just gets split up among all the brothers. Remember, we saw that was the whole incentive for them to do yibum because of that. So it's just one thing I want to see.
This lucky woman's gonna be forced into marrying him, then they'll get divorced, right, so that he can get...
Exactly. So you can see that he's going to basically try to divorce her and then remarry her to basically... Right. It's like incentive for him. Okay. So now...
And he can do yibum against her will.
Right. We did learn that. That's true. Yes.
So she's really stuck.
Yes.
On that condition.
Right. Okay, so now we're going to see the Gemara on this. Ibailu, Shomer Yabam Shemeta, Mi Kovra. Okay, now remember, she's at this in-between stage. We're going back to before he does Yibum. So she's at this in-between stage. Now, what did we learn about the Ketubah? We learned that Hurata Tacha Ketubata. Do you remember that? Because he inherits her Nedunya, the husband, therefore, since he's going to inherit that money from her, he's responsible for her Ketubah. Okay, it's not just the Nedunya, it's also that he now no longer needs to pay out the ketubah money because she died first. So all that money basically was returned to his pocket. So because of that, he has to do the kfura. But now, what about the Shomeret Yabam? So what do we say? Yorshei HaBa'al Kavrela Dikayarte Ketubah, that basically the one who was supposed to do Yibum, he's responsible because in the end, he's Yoresh the Ketubah. Okay, Odilma, right, that was all, right, that's all what we just said. The Beit Hillel says, the Shomeret Yabam, what happens? The Ketubah, again, Nichzei Tzon Barzal, we're not sure, but for sure, the Ketubah and the Tosefet money, right, the Matayim Zuz and the Tosefet are going to him, because now it's money that he doesn't have to pay, because she died. Odilma, Yosheav Kavrela, de Karyarte Nechasima Nechnasim Biyotzimima. But then, maybe we'll look at the Nechse Malug. That part of her ketubah, the Nechse Malug, or that part of the, right, her money goes to the father. So now the father has all this money coming into him, maybe he should be responsible. So Amrav Amram Tashma, let's learn from here. Titania, Shomeret Yabam Shemeta, Yosheha, Yoshek Tubatacha, Evin Bekvurata. Ah, he says it explicitly. The Braita says it explicitly. The Ishomer Yabam, who's responsible? The Yorshek Tubata. Who's the Yorshek Tubata? The husband, the Yabam in this case. Amar Abaye, Af Ana Nami Tanina. Abaye says, I agree, and we also see this from another Braita. Almanani zonet minichse yitomim, umase yadeha shalahen. Be'en chayavim bekvurata. Okay, a regular almana, so what happens? She gets supported from the nichse yitomim. And ma'aseh yadeh shelahem, right? She works, that goes to straight to the husband's inheritance, and she gets fed off of that. But they're not chayavim bikfurata. Now it says, yorsheha, yorshei ketubata, chayavim bikfurata. Who gets the ketubah? Who has to pay for the kfurah? The people who are yoresh her ketubah. So now, what are they saying here? There seems to be a distinction between who are the Yorshei Ketubah and the regular Yorshim? Okay? So the Gemara says, Ezohi almana sheyesh la shnei Yorshim. What is that case? Heve omer. This is what Abaye is saying. Zo shomeret yabam. It must be a shomeret yabam, because that's what we just said, right? That was our whole machloket in the Mishnah. Who gets the money? Her money gets split up among two different groups of Yorshim. So they say this must be it. And who do you see as chayav b'kfurata according to this? The Yorshei Ketubata. Okay, so which would mean the husband. So here we have two sources that indicate the husband. That's Abaye Shita and Rav Amram says that. But Rava is going to disagree. Amar Rava, the lema, why can't the brother say, Ach ani yoresh, ishto en ani kovir? I'm yoresh the brother, but I have no... Why did I get the ketubah money? Because the ketubah money went to my brother, and I inherited my brother. It's not that I inherited the ketubah of the woman. The ketubah, basically, when she died, went to her husband's estate, and I inherited the husband's estate. I have nothing to do with the woman. That's not my response. Like, I don't have to do with her, okay? That's, I got it straight from the brother, not from her. Amar le Abaye, mishum deba'in alav mishnei tzadim. What does this mean? I achiv yoresh yikbor et ishto. Im eino kover et ishto, yitein ketubata. What does he say? He says, wait, you have to look at this from either direction. And either direction, it's going to go according to me, that the Yabam is chayav. And as Rav is trying to say, the Yabam is not chayav, because he could say, I get it straight from the brother. But now he says like this. If you say you're yoresh your brother, well, then you're yoresh the ketubah, in which case, yikbor et ishto. And ime no kover et ishto, and if you're not going to bury the wife, then give back the ketubah money to the father. Then give the value of the ketubah. In other words, it goes hand in hand. In the end, you're getting the money. So if you're getting the money, you're responsible. And if you're not going to be responsible, well, then give up the money. You know, at least the money of the ketubah, not the rest of the Yerusha, obviously. So Rava says, Amar le, hachi ka amina. This is what he could say. Ach ani yoresh, et ishto en ani kover. Okay, it's repeating the same thing he said before. He could still say, I disagree with you, Abai. Why? He could still say, I'm inheriting the brother, but ishto en ani kover. V'im ishum ketubah, and if you want to say, what about the ketubah, you have to give it back. Lo nitna ketubah ligavot mechayim. What does that mean? The ketubah money is not something she can demand when she's still alive. If that's so, then basically when she dies, the ketubah money goes straight to the husband's estate. Because it never, the whole question is, right, do we look at it like, The husband dies, right? Then she dies, right? Then the Abam comes in, right? The Abam came in earlier, right? So now, do we say that at the time of her death, right, where was this ketubah money? Was it as if, Abai is saying basically, it's as if she inherited the ketubah when he died, and now that money's going to the Abam. And what Rava says is no. When he died, the ketubah money is not, wait one second. Right. In the case where there's yibum, so obviously she gets the money as soon as he dies. In the case where there's yibum, it's considered as if the husband's still alive because her ketubah just moves over to the Yabam. So once the ketubah moves over to the Yabam, the whole question of the ketubah money is, did it ever exist? In other words, the ketubah money is just the husband's money that's waiting to be given to her. But it was never given to her, and it was never intended to be given to her until his death. Now, his death in this case would mean the Abam's death, right? Because it just moved over to the Abam. In which case, when she dies, the money was never gavoy, it was never collected to be given to her. And therefore, what do we say? We say that he cannot, right? He got the money, right? The money never existed, the ketubah money. It's all just part of the husband's estate. And that money went straight to the brother because the brother inherits the dead brother. Okay? Well, the Yabam inherits the brother. So in which case, you can't say that he's getting it from the woman. What Abaye keeps saying is, no, really the ketubah money was supposed to go to the woman. And because the Yabam is now getting it from the woman, therefore he's responsible to bury her. Comes Rava and says, what's the ketubah money? It's just money that belongs to the husband that was supposed to go to the wife in the event that he were to die, but he didn't die again. He did die, but it went straight to the Yabam, the responsibility. The ketubah still exists in theory, but only in theory, right? So as soon as she dies, the ketubah is dissolved. So it's not like he inherits it from her. He gets it from the brother, okay? The dead brother, basically.
So the Yabam is not responsible for her.
Exactly. So the Yabam does not need to bury her, says Rava. Okay? So now, this is all based on the principle, lo nitna ketubah legavot mechayim. Now, why is that? So, we're going to see this right now. Man shamat le di'it le midrash ketubah. What is midrash ketubah? We saw this before. That you can be doresh the lashon of the ketubah. What does it say in the ketubah? Okay, look at Rashi for a minute. Man shamat le di'it le midrash ketubah. She doresh lashon ha ketubah. She ketuv ba lechishetinas ila acher titli ma she ketuv lechi. Okay, what does that mean? When you marry someone else, take what's given to you. Now, in this case, did she marry someone else? No, she died. Which means that there's no ketubah if that didn't happen, right? And as we're doresh the wording of the ketubah to mean that lo nitach ketubah legabot mechayim, because the only way she can get it is if she's going to go marry someone else. She's going to go marry someone else. Obviously, it's not until, basically, right, there's a total cut off of this marriage. And there was never a cut off because she was supposed to marry the Yabam and still be connected to the husband's estate. So now, who says that there's midrash ketubah that's basically Rava is building his whole premise based on that? Ile midrash ketubah is what tells us that because of the midrash ketubah, we say lo nitna ketubah legabot mechayim. So who says that? Beit Shammai. V'shamina luhu lebeit Shammai. Here comes Abaye, and he says, if you're going to say that lo nitna ketubah legabot mechayim, it's because you hold like Beit Shammai. Now, if you hold like Beit Shammai, now he's not going to say how can you hold like Beit Shammai, but against Beit Hillel, he's saying, but if you hold like Beit Shammai, we know something else about Beit Shammai. Da'amre shtar ha'omei legavot ki gavoy da'amei. Ah, but Beit Shammai himself, who holds that the ketubah belongs to, right, that until she's about to get married, she's not worthy of getting her ketubah money. However, he also holds that a shtar that you're supposed to pay back, right, you're eventually going to pay, is as if it's already paid back. So what does this mean? That while on the one hand, right, Beit Shammai says the ketubah doesn't happen until the time that she's going to marry someone else. However, he also holds, though, that since, even though that's when she's going to get it, because she is going to eventually get it, even though it's a little strange because she might not necessarily get it, is what we're learning, but because she's eventually going to get it, it's as if from this moment it was paid to her. In which case, when the Yabam gets the ketubah money, he's getting it from the woman because it was as if she got it. So if you're going to go leave it to Beit Shammai, then you have to go with him all the way. And Beit Shammai holds this other thing, which would basically imply that it's as if she has the money. Now, in which case, when he gets, right, and as because this is what we talked about all the while, that he puts aside this money for her and it's as if she almost received it. Right, so therefore, when the Yabam gets the ketubah money, he really is getting it from the woman. Okay? And therefore, Rava's wrong. In other words, he says it must be the Yabam is chayav in the kfura, because he is getting it from her. Okay, so now, before we get back to the dusiach between them, we're going to explain where do we know that shtarah made the gavo ki gavoy dami, according to Beit Shammai. Ditnan. Metu ba'alehen ad shelosh shatu. If the sota woman, right, her husband dies before she drinks the sota water, Beit Shammai omrim notlot ketubata v'lo shotot. They get their ketubah money and they don't need to drink the sota waters because they never went through the procedure. U'Beit Hillel omrim o shotot o lo notlot ketubah. Either they drink or they don't get their ketubah money. In other words, what's the issue? The ketubah money is besafek, whether, right, if they're a zonah and they slept around and we don't know, right? So how could she get her ketubah money? Beit Hillel says she can't get her ketubah money. So first of all, this doesn't make sense. What do you mean they can be shoteh? Oh, shotot, vehevi ha'ish et ishto ala kohen. In other words, how could she possibly drink after he's dead, right? And this is the whole premise of this machloket here, or the whole issue here. Once he dies, she can't drink the sota water. So now she's besafek. We will never know about her, basically. We'll never know the truth. Since we'll never know the truth, what happens to her ketubah money? So Beit Shammai says, no problem, she can demand the ketubah money. Okay, because it was never proven that she was a zona. And Beit Hillel says, she can't demand the ketubah money, okay? So now they say, instead of oshotot, right? It can't be oshotot, olonotlot ketubah. Okay, because it says Vevia Isha Ishtola Kohen, Amar Rahmana Veleika, and there is, he doesn't bring her because he's dead. Ella, this is the way you should read Beit Hillel. Mitoch Shelosh Shotot, because they can't drink the sota waters and will never know, Lonot Lot Ketubah. Okay? You follow? That's what Beit Hillel says. So now we have to explain, right? You can understand, what do we always say? Hamotzi Mechavero Alav Haraya. So that's what Beit Hillel says. It's a Safek. She's a Safek Zona. She wants to get the money from the Yatomim. What do we say? You can't do that because you can't prove it. You can't prove that you're not a zonah. So now, why does Beit Shammai? Beit Shammai omrim not lot tuvah velo shotot. V'amai? Sveikahu. Safek zanai, safek lo zanai. V'ka'ate safek umotzi mitei v'adai. In other words, who's the v'adai? The Yorshim of the v'adai. The Yorshim say, this money belongs to us. The woman says, no, I want my ketubah money. It belongs to me. And they say, prove that you're not a zona. If you're a zona, then you can't get your ketubah money. So this is going to lead us to exactly this. Kasavri Beit Shammai, shtar ha'omei ligavot ki gavoy dami. And therefore, it's as if she already received the money. It's so much hers that therefore, they're the ones who have to prove it. Okay? And since they can't prove that she's not a zona, she's a zona, therefore, she gets to keep the money. Okay, she gets to get her ketubah money.
Good for
Beit Shammai. What? Good for Beit Shammai, yeah. Okay. Kishetinas ila acher titzli mashakatuv lechi. But wait, doesn't it say, right, that only when you marry someone else you get what you want? Veleka? So this goes back to, now we're back to the Rava. Okay, so this was all to prove Abaye's thing against Rava, right? That Shtaromeh, according to Beit Shammai, you're going according to Beit Shammai. And Beit Shammai held Shtaromeh legavot ki gavoy dami, right? And therefore, how could you say that it goes from the mate to the Abam? It really goes from the woman to the Abam. Okay? So now, they say, V'ha bi'inan, kishetinas ila acher, one second, right, so this would, right, so now Rava says, but don't you need, now this, again, in order to make the ketubah, according to what you're saying, the ketubah, right, Beit Shammai said two things. He said, we're going to do midrash ketubah, that only kishetin asila acher, but also ashtaro made the gavoy ki gavoy dami, but it's only gavoy if she's going to be, right, this is what I said before, there's a bit of a problem, because it's not 100% she's going to get her ketubah money, because it's only kishetinasi lacher titli mashakatuv lechi veleka. Right? There is no gvia because in the end she's never going to get her ketubah in this case. So how could you say it's kigavoy dami if right? She's this tanai is never going to happen. So because in which case this woman, what happened? The husband died, so she was supposed to get her ketubah, but she wasn't allowed to be married to somebody else yet because she's still belonging to the husband's house, right? So in this case, you could say, the ketubah was chal, right? Once the ketubah was chal, it was omeid ligavot. But it was never omeid ligavot because you still didn't have this option if she could go be free to marry anybody she wants. So what does Rav Ashi answer? I'm Rav Ashi, yabam nami ke'acher dami. Don't look at the yabam as he was, it's just an extension of the husband's family. It is a case, and then take the midrash ketubah. When you marry someone else, you're going to marry the Abam. So there, you know, at that moment, when you're going to marry the Abam, even though you haven't yet, right, you're about to, that's a case of that the ketubah is chal, in which case we go and say, ah, ketubah omeid legavot ki gavoy dame. Okay, and therefore at that moment it was omeid legavot, and therefore again, Abaye proves his point, when he inherits the ketubah, he's inheriting it from the woman and not from the man, from the brother.
Or if there was no brothers, somebody dies and then she's free automatically.
Ah, right, but then that's not our case. Our whole question is if she's a shomer yabam. Right, that was, you know, then there's no...
No possibility of it.
Right, if there's no brothers, well, then it's a whole different, right. That's a whole different story. Okay.
So if it's a regular case, he just dies, she doesn't have to do Hebrew, but she still has to marry somebody else to get her ketubah?
So...
Like, how does that work?
No, once she's allowed to marry someone else. It's the being allowed to marry someone else. That's the point. It's just the fact that she's now mutar, she's... What happens? A woman gets married, she's kind of forbidden to everybody else. So Lakisha Tinasila Khir just means when I'm died and you're freed up, when I die or when we're divorced and you're freed up to marry anyone you want, okay? So now she's not freed up to marry because she still has to marry the Abba, but the point is that's already freed up to marry someone else. Okay? That's how he's reading it. It's the only way you could really read it, right?
She really get a new ketubah according to that thing.
Yeah.
Oh, right, because then she really needs a new ketubah. Right, but I think you could say then that she was, yes, she's freed up and she should demand the ketubah, but what happens? The ketubah just rolls over, right? It since she then marries the yabam,
yeah.
Right, it wouldn't, but because in this case, the yabam is acting in place. It's an in-between. It's for sure not really la'achir. That's why the question comes up.
Yeah,
it's not. It's a problem. You're right. It's not perfect.
But it helps her if it's lacher. It works in her favor.
If what?
If he's considered like another man.
Well, that's what Abaye is trying to say. In order to show that the Abam is chayav, we're going to say that. But that's why it's an answer. That's why, look, whenever you have a machloket with two people, no one is right. Neither shita is perfect. That's the weakness in this one, that you're looking at the Abam both as a continuation and as a cutoff. So it's complicated. Shalach le Rav al Abaye. Okay, now we're going to have the continuation of the Masa Umatan between them, which is not over yet. Okay, here this is interesting. Shalach le'Rav al Abaye b'yav Rav Shmaya bar Zera. Okay, he sends a question through someone else. Umi natna ketubah ligabot b'chayim? Is a ketubah really nitan ligabot b'chayim? In other words, while we might say, shtar ha'omei ligabot ki gavoy dami, that's a regular shtar. That's if you have a loan out, right? So it means that since you have a loan out, right? The loan is as if it's paid back right now. That money really belongs to you, the guy who lent the money. But now, does that really work by ketubah also? Because the ketubah is not nitan legvot mechayim. V'ha tanya, why? Rabbi Abba omer, sha'alti et sumchus. Harotze shiyim kor b'nechse achiv, ketzad hu oseh. Okay, if he wants to sell his brother's stuff, okay, after, let's say, this goes back to our Mishnah. You're the Abam marries the woman, okay? He now wants to sell some of the stuff of his brothers. What should he do? Im kohen hu ya'aseh se'uda ve'yipayes. Okay? If he's a kohen, what should he do? He should make a se'uda and basically, you know, woo her over and say, oh, wouldn't it be okay if I sold some of the property? Im Yisrael hu, now you'll see in a second why only a kohen, and this is what we saw in the Mishnah already. Migaresh beget biyachzir. Okay, Sumchus actually recommends to people this is what you should do. Divorce her and bring her back. Okay? A Kohen can't do that exactly, and that's why he can do the Su'udah. V'i sal kadati nitnak tuba ligavot mechayim. And if you thought that we were allowed to demand the ketubah, we could pay the ketubah during her lifetime, niyached la shiur ketubah v'ashar lizabim. He should be allowed to set aside X amount of money, right? And then it's as if it was gavoy, right? And then he'd be allowed to sell the rest. So therefore, this must prove that it's not nitzna ligabot mechayim. And if not nitzna ligabot mechayim, then basically he's just inheriting straight yashar from the brother. And therefore, he shouldn't be responsible for the woman's kfura. So comes Abaye and he says, v'litamech v'lochem mimatzniten. You should have asked the question from the Mishnah. Don't bring this bright over sumchus. Ask from the Mishnah itself. Lo yomar harei ketubatech munachat lach al ha'shulchan ela kol nechasim achrin leketubata. Right? So therefore, what does he say? If you're not asking it from our Mishnah, it must be because hatam etza tova kamashmalan. It must be that it's just etza tova. It's not that you're not allowed to. Comes Abaye and he claims that you actually are allowed to sell the nechasim. Okay, so now we're reinterpreting our Mishnah. Okay? You are allowed to sell some of the stuff. You can set aside money. In which case, you can say that shtaro me legabo ki gavoy dami, right? And the nitna ktua legabo mechayim. Okay? But the Mishnah is giving you an etzah tova. De'ilo temahachi. And here he proves it, well, the more so, because if you don't say that, seifa dekatane b'chein lo yomar adam li'ishto harek tubatech munachat la'achal la'shulchan elakon nechasav achrein l'ktubat ishto ibayle lezvune hachanami de'lo matzeh mezabin. In other words, it would imply from the Mishnah that he can't sell anything, but it can't possibly be. In other words, when it says lo yomar adam li'ishto, right, when it says, and it's the same thing for a regular husband and wife, what do you mean? A guy can't ever sell any of his property? Of course he can. It's just etzah tova kamashmalan, okay? Hachanami etzah tova kamashmalan. So therefore, just like the case with the husband and the wife is just etzah tova, therefore also the Yabam case is just etzah tova, in which case we're back to saying that based on the Mishnah, it's just etzah tova, he really can be miyachay ksafim, in which case, if he can be miyachay ksafim, then we say the nitzna ktuba legavo mechayim, in which case it's shtar omed legavo ki gavo edami, and then, right, he's inheriting straight from the woman, in which case, the ktuba money goes from the woman, in which case he's chayav in her kfura. So now they say, but ela de Rabbi Abba kasha, but Rabbi Abba, which is the sumchus case, right, where they said that the right again, only right, he should divorce her and then remarry her, and that's the only way he can do this. Kasha, right? Rabbi Ami Nami lo kasha mishum Eva. So they say, don't worry about Rabbi Ami, because Rabbi Ami said to do this because of Eva. He didn't want there to be a bad relationship between them. And he felt that if the husband always felt like he shouldn't be selling any of the brother's property, he can't really access those that money, right? He can get payroll from it only, but he can't really sell it, because even if it's begedir etzah tova, then he'd basically be living the whole time being angry at her. So better to get rid of the anger and get past this by just selling it and then taking her, by divorcing her and taking her back, and then he's free to do what he wants. It's
angry,
right? It's crazy, right? It's totally, it's like a whole different viewpoint, or right, cultural. Yeah, you have to. Yeah. Anyway.
Is this whole term
No, the principle, the karka. In other words, he can use the pay, he can get payroll. We said that in the Mishnah that he can get payroll from this money.
That he's inheriting from the brother. This yavam is the brother's, or it was nixay malug of the woman.
No, it's the brother. All the brother's money is achrayut for the woman's ketubah. Okay, that's why in the end, Abaye seems to say it's really only etzah tova, because it's not like, let's say he's got millions of dollars, you know, and in property, what, he has to leave all of that property just because he's going to eventually have to pay a certain amount of money for the ketubah, right? It doesn't seem logical. So in the end, that's what they're saying, okay? So it's etzah tova, and that's how they understand it, okay? Right. What they explain about the Eva is that she's worried that she's living in fear, sort of, that he's going to divorce her. In other words, like you look at it and you say, oh, well, for her, it's bad. Like here she gets divorced and remarried. First of all, you have to remember she's already, actually she would be able to marry a Kohen because she's widowed. Right. And he didn't do Chalitza. So yeah, it would mess her up in that sense if she ever needs to get remarried to a Kohen. But on the other hand, she's living to this man thinking that he might want to divorce her at any moment so he can get free access. It's more like her concern and her feeling on edge all the time. It's almost like we saw with the guy with Miun, right? He's going to think all the time she's going to be my man. I'm not going to bother taking care of her property. Here, the woman's going to think all the time he's going to want to divorce me. So better just get the divorce over with. We marry her and then they can live happily ever after.
With no property.
Right. What do you mean with no property?
Once he's got all the access and can sell it.
Right. Now you have to remember he still owes her ketubah money. In other words, she's still gonna have a ketubah. Then it becomes his responsibility for the ketubah.
He's back in the same place.
Right. So that's I'm struggling with that one thing, because if they're comparing the husband to the
married, then they have a new ketubah, and all this new inheritance is a chray on the new ketubah.
Right. So I'm trying to figure out why that's what I'm stuck with, that one point.
How does he get out?
Right. I'm struggling with that, because in the end it's the same whether they're married or not.
Then he can sell it. Can he sell it more freely if it's his property?
So I'm trying to figure that out, because the Mishnah seems to say they're both the same, right? Right. So first of all, there's a machloket about this yichud nechassim, whether he can do it or not in general. But I'm not clear on why there's not a difference, and that's why once he divorces her, that would resolve the issue. Because in the end, it should really be the same thing. I'm struggling with that in my head. What? Okay, this is the difference. The husband can sell the nechassim. Okay, this is the difference. The husband is allowed to sell his property. It's just a matter of what we said, that anyone who buys it from him can demand it, right? The woman can demand it back from anyone he sold it to. The yabam can't even sell it. He's not allowed to sell the brother's property at all. What?
Except
he can't sell it. Unless he divorces her.
Right. He's back to square one.
Right. Right. That's the difference. There's a distinction. Because the property isn't 100% his yet. In other words, it's miyuchad for her ketubah from the first brother's marriage, and therefore he can't inherit it while it still has that lien on it, basically. So all the brother's money has a lien on it, and he can't even sell it. And say, oh, I'm going to sell it, but you can demand it back from those guys. He's not even allowed to sell it.
So
once he divorces her,
too, but that frees up everything.
Exactly. But it's under one condition. That he divorces her, she actually demands the ketubah money, okay? Kahati explains here that the Gemara is going to explain. I guess we haven't gotten to it yet. But if she doesn't...
She doesn't demand the ketubah.
That if she doesn't get the ketubah money from the yabam, then it's just the same thing. If she's still stuck with the first husband's ketubah, if he never pays out the ketubah money and then he remarries her and it's still from the first husband's ketubah,
then... Why is it not advantageous to her to stay in a marriage where the dead husband's nechassim are frozen and he can't, and the yavam can't...
Because of the eva. Because she knows that it's causing her husband stress. Exactly. And she's worried that any moment he'll divorce. But you have to remember also in those days he could divorce against her will. That changed later, but at that point, he could divorce her against her will. So because of that, right, that only changed the Takana Rabbeinu Gershom. Okay. Hahu gavra denafla la yivama bepumpetita, bai afa la mifsala begita mine. Okay, so now there was a woman, there was a man that the yivama, she fell to him, okay, she fell to the oldest. Remember how that works?
Yeah.
Okay. The brother, the younger brother, said, I want to passel her for Yibum. So what am I going to do? Do you remember what he does? If he gives her a get, then she can no longer do Yibum with any of the other brothers. So Amarleh, the older brother, said, my datech, what are you trying to do? Mishum, like, what's your motivation? Why don't you want me to do Yibum? Is it Mishum Nichse, right? It's always the money, right? Because you want the money. Ana b'nichse pagin alach. I will split the money with you. Okay? So I'm Rav Yosef. So now Rav Yosef says about this, Kevan da amur rabbanan lo lizaben, af agav de zaben lo hava zvine zvine. What does that mean? Remember, he can't sell his brother's... What did he basically do? He basically sold half of his brother's nechassim by telling the brother, I'll split it 50-50. That's basically selling the nechassim. He can't do that. So what do you see here, Rav Yosef says? Since they told him he can't, right, when Chachamim said the Yabam can't sell the stuff, what do we say? What if he were to do it anyway? Lo havas vinas vine. His sale was not a good sale. How do we know this? Ditanya says in a Braita, Mi shemek v'hiniach shomer yabam, v'hiniach nechassim b'me'am maneh, am po pishak tshubata ena ela maneh, Lo yimkor shekol nechasav achrein lektubata. It says that the Abam can't sell the brother's stuff, right? And that was exactly our thing, right? That if he dies and leaves the Shomer Yabam, right, he leaves a woman who's supposed to do Yibam, and he leaves Nechasim of Me'am Mane, even though the Ketubah is only Mane, and not, right, and not Me'am Mane, so in any case, he still can't sell because all his Nechasim are Achrayim for the Ketubah. So what do you see here? He has no rights to sell the Ketubah. So it comes Rav Yosef and says, this doesn't work, right? And this shows us that if this guy were to sell her stuff, the sale is no good. Abaye disagrees. Amar le Abaye, the chol hecha de amar rabbanan lo lizvin, af agav de zavin, lo habizvin ezvine. Could it be really that his sale is not a good sale? V'hatznan, doesn't it say, Beit Shammai umrim, okay, now what's this about? This is the opposite. If the woman has nechasim the felter once she was engaged, Beit Shammai says timkur, Beit Hillel umrim lo timkur. Ve'elu ve'elu modim she'im machrava natznat kayam. So what do you see here? Even though Chachamim said that she can't sell the stuff, if she does, it's a good sale. So they say the same thing should be here. It's a takana Chachamim, right? And if Chachamim made this takana that she shouldn't sell, but if he does sell, it should be a good sale. Okay? So they sent the question off to somebody else. Shachu al kamed Rabbi Chanina bar Papi. Shacha kid Rabbi Yosef. Okay? He answers that the answer should be like Rabbi Yosef, that basically the sale is not a good sale. Amar Abaye, Atu Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, kipe talala? Did he hang his answer on nizamim? Okay, like meaning, what reason did he give to basically say that what he said? So the shalchu lekamein, as he doesn't like his answer basically, and he said he didn't bring any sort of proof. Shalchu lekamei derav menume berei derav nechumi. So they sent it to somebody else. Shalcha kida Abaye. He answers, right? It's like, go find someone who's going to answer your question the way you want. Okay. What did he say? He added here, okay, why? The Amar bar Rav Yosef tamachrina shilchuli. And if Rav Yosef dares to say anything other than this, send it to me and I'll deal with it. Okay. So nafak Rav Yosef, you can imagine, right? Rav Yosef goes out, dak ve'eshkach, and he's medayik, and he finds a bride that supports him. Okay, someone, Balchov, right, he claims he has money of the brothers, umet, and he dies. Okay, so in other words, someone was a Balchov, the guy dies, v'yineach shomer kebam. Lo yomar, okay, the guy who was chayav, I'm trying to remember who these people were, 1 second. Someone, what's achiv here? Is achiv, haya adam... He was Baal Chov of Achiv. He dies and leaves a Shomer at Yabam. I guess the guy who was the Baal Chov, the guy who owed money, leaves a Shomer at Yabam. I think this is it. Let's go with this and see. Lo Yomar, the guy who he owes money to. It's his brother. I see. In other words, he owed money to his brother. I wasn't sure if they meant Achiv here. Okay. He owed money to his brother. Then he died and left a Shomer at Yabam. And now the brother, right? What's the issue here? Lo Yomar, right. Ho'il v'sha'ani yoresh. Hechzakti. Okay, in other words, the brother owes him money. He's now dead. So what does the brother say? It's as if I pay back the loan, right? It just dissolves. The loan dissolves. But he can't say that. Hechzakti. Ela motzi'im miyabam v'kach ben karka v'hol chel peru. The money really belonged to the mate. And it should go, right? What's the problem? All the mates nechasim are meshuabad to the woman. So therefore, he has to actually physically take money, buy property with it, turn it into property so that it can be a chrayut for the woman's ketubah. So now, what does that prove? It proves that if he were to do it, why does this prove this? That he really can't sell the money. He has no rights to it. The fact that he even, what would you say? Here, this would be like a sale b'dieved, because it just, the money dissolves. And this proves that you can. So Amar le Abaye, Dilma de Tavu le Avdu le. Maybe they meant this to do what's good for the Yabam. Meaning that maybe it doesn't mean, it's just saying this is Eitzah Tova, okay? That he shouldn't really use up the money for this. He should really turn it into a thing, but not necessarily that he has to do this. So Amar Leah, Rav Yosef says, no, that's not a good proof, because Tana Tane Motzi'in. It says we take it away from the Yabam. Motzi'im Yabam. That's what it said. V'yikarkbam karka. Motzi'im doesn't mean, right? What does motzi'im usually mean? The Beit Din can come along and take the money from him. In other words, it's such a thing, right? So it proves that this isn't just Eitzatava. You notice Abai seems to go along before also. He said, oh, don't take this as halacha. This is just Eitzatava. This is what he's answering here also. Okay, but Rav Yosef says it can't possibly be because of the Lashon. Ba'atamar tetava avdulei, and you can't say that. Okay, now, here we go back to our case. Harder shochua, so now they went back and they sent it back this question. Kamej Rav Menyumi Bereja Rav Nechumi, and they brought, remember he said, if Rav Yosef brings a proof, bring it to me. So they brought Rav Yosef's proof. Amar lei, hachi am Rav Yosef Rav Menyumi am Rav Nachman, zo ena mishnah. This braita is not even a good mishnah, okay? It's not a good braita. Okay, so in other words, yeah, you're quoting this braita, but this braita, it's known already that it's a messed up braita. Okay, we've seen this before, right? That sometimes they say there's a braita that it's not really a great braita. Okay, what?
Not often.
Right, not often, but once in a while. So now they're going to say, why? Why is it a messed up braita? My time, huh? Why did he say it's meshubashet? Ilema mishum dehavaleu metaltale, umetaltale lektuvalo meshabde. Maybe you'll say that what? This goes back to, this is metaltalin, and metaltalin are not meshuabadim to the ketubah. Remember, only she can only demand until such, right? There was a machloket about. She can only demand her ketubah from karka, not metaltalin. But you could say, no, Dilma Rabbi Meir here, you could say this is according to Rabbi Meir, da amar metaltalin meshabde the ketubah. So you can't say that. Be'ela, okay, they're going to say maybe it's this, but they're going to reject that too. Mishum da amar la, at la ba'alat varim didi. You're not the ba'alat adim here. Okay, why? Because I had nothing to do with the woman, right? I just owe money to the brother. And you didn't inherit your brother, and therefore you can't demand anything from me. Okay? So maybe that's why. In other words, she basically has no rights to this money. This had nothing to do with her. This just had to do with her husband. So he could say, this money has nothing to do with you. But now, they say, Dilma Rabbi Natan. This could be, according to Rabbi Natan, Ditanya, Rabbi Natan Omer, this is called, there's a very famous thing called Shibuda de Rabbi Natan. Okay, Rabbi Natan says, Rabbi Natan omer, minayin lenoshe b'chaviro maneh b'chaviro b'chaviro, minayin shemotziim mizeh v'notziim lezeh. Tamu lomar v'natan la'asher asham lo. What does this mean? Here's our mate and our yabam on the board, okay, you see? The yabam owed the mate money, right? Comes the braita and says, the money really belongs to her now because the brother, the yabam, owed to the mate, and the mate owed to the mate, right, the woman who's dead, yeah? So it really should go directly from the yabam to the mate. So first he said, right, if you want to say that the woman can, they can claim the woman has no part here. This had to do with the mate and the yabam. What's the woman getting involved here? She's got a separate thing, which is that she's owed ketubah money. But that has nothing to do with this loan that he had out from his brother. Two totally separate things. But Shibuda de Rabbi Natan says, no, if the mate owed her money and the Abam owes the mate money, she can demand it straight from the Abam. So this money does directly go with her, okay? So he's saying we can, if we hold by Shibuda de Rabbi Natan, which is basically transitive property, right? A equals B, B equals C, so A equals C, right? If A owes money to B and B owes money to C, then C can demand money from A, okay? So now what do they answer? No, so you can't say that that's the problem with the braita, that the woman has no place here because of Shibuda Rabbi Natan. But what are the answer? Really good answer. I don't know, good answer, but anyway. Ela lo eshkechantani demachmir trechumre biktuba. You will never find, okay, ketubah is midrabanan. Okay, we saw this before. It's ketubah midrabanan, midrabanan. Here, according to this, the Gemara is saying ketubah is midrabanan. Because ketubah is midrabanan, we're not going to take two chumrot. Ela ikar Rabbi Meir, ikar Rabbi Natan. Okay, do you follow? We brought two possibilities, and we said, you could say the bright is meshubeshet, because it's saying you take from metaltalin, and we know you only take from karka. Ah, they say, no, it's Rabbi Meir, who holds that you take from metaltalin also. Then they say, well, maybe it's that the woman has no place here and all this has to do just between the two of them. No, we can say it's Shibuda de Rabbi Natan. So in other words, each way you can say the Braita holds like Rabbi Meir or the Braita holds like Rabbi Natan. But now they say, if it's a case of ketubah, we're not going to be machmir in both directions. We're not going to say we're going to take the chumrah of Rabbi Meir and the chumrah of Rabbi Natan because it's ketubah. We're going to be mekel in ketubah. And therefore you can't, basically, it's the combination of the two creates, you need both to say it's like Rabbi Meir, that the metaltalin or meshuabad to the ketubah, and you need to say that it's like Rabbi Natan, that she can claim it directly from the Abam because he owes him and he owes her. But you can't say both of them together, and that's what makes the Braita Meshubeshet. That the Braita can't be holding both by that and both by that, because they're basically adding two chumras to the issue of ktuba, and we can't have two chumras by ktuba. And that's what Rabbi Menume was saying about this Braita, that this Braita is Meshubeshet for that reason. Okay. Shabbat Shalom.